about the steps to a double portion of God's anointing. Before I read this long passage in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, I want you to know that the Bible earlier spoke about Elijah running away from Jezebel, and then he left his servant in Beersheba. And when he left his servant in Beersheba, apparently there was no indication that the servant was interested to get out of the place to follow Elijah. He has seen many miracles. He had seen Elijah praying for rain and praying to stop the rain in the land. He saw the result of that prayer. He actually saw Elijah praying for the fire to come down. And he literally experienced the extraordinary power of God. Yet at the same time, when he was running away together with Elijah and was left at Beersheba, he has forgotten what God has done through this man. And so he left Elijah alone and never come back. Elijah ran away, and he was then at the mountain where the voice of the Lord began to whisper to his ears and told him what he had to do. And one of the things that he had to do was to come to see Elisha and make him a prophet. And this 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, is the passage that tells me that Elisha was the other man who was ready to run after the anointing of God. I'm afraid today we live in a modern Christian society where people are not interested to run after God's anointing, but they are more keen to have fun in the house of God. And I say this with all my heart of fear, and to say unto you, church, run after God's anointing. That's what we need. And so this is what happened to Elisha. And allow me to read this long passage. And so I pray that God will help you as you listen to the words. And it says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on the way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to battle. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets of Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha replied. So be quiet. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied, so be quiet. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you leave, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. Verse 7, 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Verse 9, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Elisha replied, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet, if you see me, when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. Verse 11, as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw these and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Brothers and sisters and friends, everything you would desire in this world, there is a price to pay. If you want to have something good, there is a high price to pay. If I want to get a very good car, an expensive car, it will cost a great price. Am I right or not? And so it is in our spiritual side of our lives. There is an opportunity for a great anointing, but there's a price that we need to pay. But the question is, are we willing to go after the anointing? Or rather, have we given up running after the anointing? When there is the Holy Spirit camp, everybody got excited. After the camp, everybody died off. Are we running after something else other than God's anointing? The text tells me that Elisha, the student of Elijah, was determined to get God's best for his life. You know what Elisha was asking? He was asking for a double portion, am I right or not? And this particular word derives from an inheritance language taken from Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17. In fact, it is used as the firstborn. Firstborn child will always inherit from the Lord. And this firstborn child is as good as we call it successor. This is a language and is typically used in the Old Testament referring to the birthright. You know, I'm the youngest in the home. But when I came to know the Lord, I know I am firstborn. Somebody say amen. You are firstborn and you have the right to inherit them. Are we ready to run after God's anointing? And so we need to follow Elisha's example. Let us go into chapter 19, 1 Kings, so that we will understand at the very onset, Elijah called Elisha. Look at verse 19 to 21. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12 pair. Then Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak or his mantle around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Elijah replied, go back. What have I done to you? Meaning, I won't stop you. That's what he's saying. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Elijah called Elisha because that was the word that God gave to Elijah at the mountain. So Elisha was appointed and was chosen to be the next prophet. And as he called him, we could see the heart and the attitude of Elisha. He says, I want to say goodbye to my family. What he meant is, I'm going to say goodbye because I'm not coming back again. How many of you know that was a calling of God that time? Not like today. But then Elisha proved himself. He went to kill and slaughtered all his oxen. He burned all the equipment. That means there is no plan B. It's plan A. And only one plan. To follow Elijah all the way. He is so different from the other servant. Elisha demonstrated that if you want to have the best and the double portion of God's anointing, there is no turning back. Somebody say amen. There is no turning back to the world. There is no turning back to your old ways. When you follow all the way to Jesus Christ. No matter what the circumstances may tell you. Elisha demonstrated that he was spiritually hungry. He was not satisfied just to being a prophet or one of the prophets. Elisha didn't settle for just a ministry. He wanted a ministry that is life-changing. Your brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are not calling you to a duty in the ministry. We are calling you into a life-changing ministry. We are not calling you to just fulfill your obligation. We are calling you to do something that you are meant to bless somebody else. You are meant to change and help somebody live a life that is worthy before God. If there's somebody who is hurt, we are called to help people to set their lives free in the name of Jesus. We are not called into just a ministry. We are not called into a job. We are not called into a work. We are called into a life. Are you with me? If you want to give a clap offering, give him the best all you can in Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, we are in the season of the invasive power. And I pray that there is going to be a new season. A new season of double portion for the church to carry on the ministry. And so I want you to come along with me from the passage that we just read earlier. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 2. Elisha said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Bethel. Bethel? Why Bethel? Of course, it is important for us to know that name that was just mentioned. It was a place that was originally known as Luz, L-U-Z. But later, Jacob has an encounter with God in that dream. And there was a ladder that was placed on earth unto heaven. And there was the angels ascending and descending. And with this awesome dream that he had, he got up. Because the Lord spoke to him in that dream in such a promising way. He says, I'm going to take you to this place where you are laying right now. And I'm going to bless you because I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac. And he told Jacob, I'm going to bless your descendants. And your descendants will be a blessing to the entire world. And that was the promise that was given in that dream. He got up and he was awed. And he got excited. He says, this has to be called the house of God. And he called it Bethel. And then you begin to read further down in the book of Judges where the Ark of the Covenant was kept in Bethel, the house of God. This is the place where people will go to inquire of the Lord. Now Elijah is taking Elisha, showing him that this is the place that we must seek the face of God. Before you get into the double portion, before you get into the anointing of God, you need to seek God with all your heart. Not just be in the battle, not just passing by battle, but you got to be where battle is, because that's where the presence of the Lord is. The promises of God was spoken at Bethel that all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Inquire of the Lord. Seek God. How many of us believers at this very onset, we say, God, would you come and bless me? But before you ask the Lord to bless your heart, did you spend time seeking his face? Do you spend time seeking the Lord? It's pivotal for all of us to seek God in order to experience the double portion of the anointing. Oh, we need that double portion of God's anointing. We need to experience God in a very powerful way. The problem today is many believers excuse themselves with time. Many believers themselves excuse that they are not available. I am too busy, and they have other programs that override the responsibility and the priority in seeking God's face. The Bible tells me that battle is about the power of God's presence. Here in the book of Psalms says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. You see, the world is trying to take you into their premises. The world is trying to take you out of the presence of God and place you where the world wants you to be. When you are taken out, the fullness of joy will be taken away from you. But when you are found in the presence of God, there is love, there is mercy, there is grace, there is the joy of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen to that. So when you have the presence of the Lord, the Bible tells me when the Ark of the Covenant was in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, the Bible says the household of Obed-Edom was blessed by the Lord. Do you not know that when there is the presence of God, there is no division? When there is the presence of God, there is no divorce. When there is the presence of God, there is no fight. When there is the presence of God, there is healing. When there is the presence of God, there is the joy of the Holy God, holy presence of the Lord. Come on, it's because there is a missing element. When you dismiss the presence of God, you live in your sorrow, you live in your pain, you live in your struggle every day. Oh, I want you to go back to God's presence. You got to go back to the house of the Lord, which symbolizes the presence of the living God. What was Elisha's attitude? Listen to this. He says, I am determined to go all the way, Elijah. And so both of them went to Bethel. But listen to verse 3. The company of the prophets of Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Elisha replied, yes, I know. Be quiet. You know, there are people when they are getting so excited for the Lord, they come around you and they throw in doubtful and discouraging statements. Why are you so committed to God? Why do you get so fired up for God? And they attempted to bring Elisha down to their level of commitment. Why do you need to follow Elijah? Do you not know that God already finished with him? He wants to take him away? He said, yes, I know. But you know what Elijah is saying? And I paraphrase it. And this is what Elijah said. Yes, I know. But let's not talk about it right now. You know why? Because this is exactly what Elijah is trying to tell them. I am not interested about him living, but I'm interested about following him. I'm not interested about whether Jesus is coming or not right now. I'm interested to be fired up for Jesus Christ. That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested to listen to the breath of this world, but I'm interested to listen to the breath of God. I'm not interested to hear the legal aspect of the law that kills the babies. I'm interested to save the babies. Somebody say amen. I'm more interested to stay close to the Spirit of God rather than to listen to the whispering voice of the social media. Yes, I know. God is going to take him. Yes, I know. But that's not what I'm interested in. I'm not interested that Elijah will be taken away. I'm interested in following him. Many of our people today commented this same question. When there are radical Christians and when there are passionate Christians, they will ask you, why are you on fire? My question is this: how do you know that I'm on fire? What are you excited about? Don't you know that Satan's influence is growing more powerful each day? Yes, I know, but ultimately I know my God is all powerful. Somebody say amen. And then somebody would ask me, don't you know that we will soon be taken out of this world? Yes, I know. Are you not going to be prepared? You see, a lot of Christians today ridicule other Christians who are passionate. That's a strange thing. Own brothers and sisters said, don't be too radical. Don't be too passionate. Relax. Chill, brother. Enjoy yourself. What do you mean enjoy? What do you mean by enjoying? Am I not enjoying when I'm passionate? Somebody say amen. Am I not enjoying? You see, friend, I am excited. I'm excited because the Spirit of the Lord is upon all of us. I'm excited because the Spirit of the Lord preaches the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. I'm excited because the year of the Lord's favor is to see captives set free. I'm excited that there is healing in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm excited because there is power to sweep across this nation greater than the tsunami in Jesus' name. I am excited. If you are not, put yourself aside. But here, I am excited. I am excited because God is wanting to touch lives. You see, a lot of people, they are not excited, and therefore lives will never be touched. I'm excited to see lives set free. I'm excited to see homes being healed. I'm excited to see children being restored and know that there is a living God. I'm excited to see that the youngsters today will turn around and say, I don't want to follow the world. I want to follow Jesus. I'm excited because I know it is possible. How many of you believe that in God all things are possible? Amen. Are you with me? Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Oh, take a few seconds. Just give him praise. Hallelujah. I know God is a wonderful God. You know, because of all this, I will never settle for anything less. I will never settle for anything that is mediocre. I will settle for the absolute best. Just like Elisha said to the rest of the prophets at Bethel. If you want to settle for less, go right ahead. But be quiet. Leave me alone because I want to follow as close as I can with God. Then verse 4 says, Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied again, as surely as the Lord lives and as you leave, I will not leave you. And so they went to Jericho. I'm very concerned every time when there is a name mentioned. I want to know what it means. There is another test that Elisha had to go through. But in this test, it is to show himself persevering. Elisha decided to follow Elijah tenaciously. He will not give up. It is just like Ruth telling her mother-in-law, where you go, I will go. What a powerful statement. And the reason why Elisha was able to do so, because he saw and understood what others could not see. He was so radical and passionate, and because he saw what others could not see. That's the reason why they were passionate. After every part of that journey, Elisha was challenged by Elijah. And this time round, perseverance was required. But in this perseverance, it is a journey of faith. Why do I say that? Because Jericho was mentioned. Jericho, what do I think about Jericho? Everybody will know, okay, Jericho is about the wall collapse. Isn't it true? It's about the wall collapse like a pack of cards. When there was the voice that shouted right in front of the people and the wall of Jericho collapsed. Do you know what they were doing? That was a journey of faith. Jericho is all about the walk of faith. You want to see powerful events taking place? There is a demand and there is a call for faith. Because Jericho is the first battle in the promised land that teaches them new principle. And that principle is about walking in faith. I can imagine the rest of the people on the top of Jericho at the wall, looking down at the people of God walking around the entire city. They were probably confused. They were probably laughing. They were probably ridiculing. Do you know there are times when you and I exercise faith, people say, oh, what a stupid thing. You got to be foolish. You know, the doctor says this, and you just said you just believe God like that? Aren't you foolish just to believe God like that? People will ridicule your faith. What do? Come back and cry? Mommy, my friend saved my faith. Lord. You're going to do that? You're going to go home and cry and just because people ridicule your faith? You know what? You should stand up and stand up for your faith. You should be walking around Jericho and say, let them laugh. I don't care because the Lord gave me a marching order and I will walk around Jericho. Somebody say amen. You see, my life was not an easy life as well. Because you see, friends, when I was walking with the Lord, Satan has thrown in seemingly insurmountable obstacles in front of me. People think that in the ministry, you are walking on an easy road. But you are marching along that road of life that is so much pressured by financial issues. At the same time, overseeing a local and regional ministry. And what comes after that? The sadness of losing my father suddenly. My father did not die with the knowledge that he's going to die. He died suddenly. The only thing I have is this. My father is saving Jesus Christ. But I didn't have a chance to even say goodbye because we are a different state altogether. And it was a shocking news to hear my brother say he just went off. He was all right eating his porridge and he just went off. And sometimes we are attacked with all the sudden things. Satan put up the walls right in front of my face. But I tell you one thing, I have received a marching order and I was still much on with my life in faith in Jesus' name. That's not what you and I are going to do by just looking at a situation and say, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm going to walk away of this. No, you're not going to walk away. You're going to walk through it. You're going to walk through it because that's what faith is all about. Do you know what faith is all about? Faith is not resting on something that is comfortable. Faith is resting on many challenges in life. Ask Sister Anne. She knows what faith is all about. Ask some of you who have gone through that rough roads, you know what faith is all about. Faith is not something where you have a nice cushion on your butt. You sit around and say, oh, it's so nice. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's so comfortable. And when you face challenges, oh, God, where are you, God? Where, Lord, where? You cry. And then suddenly you say, I don't know, I don't even have a heart to believe in God anymore. What is faith? I know people say when the faith is that when you trust God. Yes. Yes. Can I say that? Yes. Trusting God. You know the word trusting God is so rare today, isn't it true? The only time you say you trust God is when there is something comfortable and something we call blessing that comes along the way. But when the road is so tight and you're walking on a tight road, and that tight rope as you are walking along with it, you say to yourself, I'm trusting you, Lord. And I am walking, Lord. I am trusting you, Lord. I have faith in you. Some of us, when we're walking on a white road, we say, God, I have faith in you. Try walking on a tight rope. Somebody understand what I'm saying? Say a big amen. Amen. That's what faith is all about. Then he went on to verse 5. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, do you not know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Now the group of prophets from Jericho came out and asked the same question. Everybody seems to know that. God is going to take Elijah away. They're trying to do the same thing as the prophets of Bethel, trying to discourage him, trying to put in very desponding statements. But Elisha dismissed them again because he remembers this. I'm not interested about him living. I'm interested in following him. And that should be our attitude. And so what happened was in verse 6 and verse 7. Look at that. Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan." What? Another place? And then he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walk on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. This is another challenge. From Jericho, are you going to stay there? Why go Jordan, Elijah? Why do we need to go Jordan? Elisha would not give up. He insisted to have more. So he went on. He would not even quit. He traveled along and he reached the place of River Jordan. What is Jordan? Listen to this. This is a very powerful thing. Jordan is a river that stood in between. This is River Jordan. Stood in between the wilderness and the promised land. Are you there with me? This is a moment for Elijah to take Elisha to cross over Jordan. The act of crossing over is the act of separation. You are to be separated from the wilderness and enter into that promised. This is very much associated with death. You are crossing over from death to life. This is what God is saying. The transition that we go through is about a separation. And we need to separate ourselves from the path of wilderness to the path where we go into the promised land. If you and I want to get into the double portion of the anointing, you have to be willing to be separated from the things that could hold you back. I do not know what is holding you back, but you got to be ready to get out of that. You got to be separated from the things that are holding you. That's why Romans chapter 12 verse 9 says, "Hate what is evil, cling to what is good." God is going to give Elisha a double portion of anointing that he was pursuing. And so then Elisha was going along that journey, separated himself from the death to life. As you and I can see, there aren't many people willing to make that journey, because the Bible says what other prophets have done. The other prophets stood at a distance. They stood at a distance and watched. There are many believers are like many of these prophets. They stood at a distance. They do not want to get into the place of occupation. They do not want to occupy that place where we are meant to separate ourselves from the world and to live our life in these promises of God. Brothers and sisters, you recognize that God is dwelling inside of you. When God is dwelling inside of you, it is important that you are unequally yoked with the false religion. You have to be unequally yoked with the things of this world. This is not isolating yourself, but this is about not compromising your faith. So, brothers and sisters, when the Lord says separate, He wants to see what sort of faith you have. Are you willing to separate yourself from the world of darkness into the marvelous light? Paul said in the book of Corinthians, what sort of communion will there be between light and darkness? There will be no agreement between Christ and with Belial. There will be no agreement between the temple of God with the idols. Brothers and sisters, Paul said these beautiful words. He says, "I, the Lord, will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. Do not touch the unclean and I will receive you." you. Somebody say amen. Don't touch the unclean. Don't touch the dirt. Don't touch the filthy. Don't touch the sin. Get out. Separate. If you want the double portion of the anointing, you have to live a life of separation. That is what God is saying. And that is what the church today must do. We do not live by compromising our faith. We live by telling the world that we are separated from the things and the activities and the ideologies of this world today, because I am desperate for God's anointing. You see, brothers and sisters, God's anointing comes when you live a separate life. No wonder Jesus said in John 14 verse 12, listen to this, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." What a wonderful passage. He said, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And this word just continue to echo in my heart. We are running after God's anointing because there is so much work that needs to be done. I'm running after God's anointing. So in order for me to reach that place, I need to separate myself from the things of this world, that I may have a life that is worthy before God. I have a life that is purified, cleansed, and sanctified, so that I am ready for the double portion of the anointing. And in verse 8 and verse 9, Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Once again, not only during Joshua's time, but during Elijah's time, the ground became dry. And listen to verse 9. When they had crossed. Did the Bible say that? When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you?" Elijah replied, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Elijah, let me be the firstborn. Elijah, let me be your successor. Elijah, let me have the double portion of your spirit." When they had crossed, are you ready to cross over? Are you ready to cross from the false religion of this world, from the false ideologies, from the deception and the things that the world teaches you? Will you separate yourself from that world today? Are you willing to put your own plans aside and seek God for his double portion and even more? Look at verse 10. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me," tell your neighbor. Look at your neighbor now. "If you see me," come on. "If you see me, when I'm taken from you," you don't want to say that, right? "It will be yours. If you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." If you keep your eyes on Jesus, when you run the race, fix your eyes on him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on him. If you keep your eyes on him, you are ready to receive. And this is something that I ponder, because this verse reminds me what took place in the book of Acts as well. If you see me, and I remember that in the book of Acts, there was such an incident before Jesus ascended, the disciples' eyes was fixed on him, and they were told to wait in the upper room. I saw the truth of this double portion of anointing. When you and I receive this double portion, it's for all of us to continue what was left for us to do. This double portion is given to us to continue the ministry that was left for us to do. This double portion is not for us to parade is for us to continue what God has left us to do. That was exactly what the disciples did. Elisha, I'm going to give you this double portion. And when you receive it, you will continue what was left for you to do. I saw the same spirit of Elijah that Elisha was asking. Because Elijah was like any ordinary man. Isn't it true? Because James said that in chapter 5. He said this, Elijah was a human being even as we are. But when he started praying earnestly that it would not rain, it did not rain. Wow. And when he started to pray for the rain, then there was rain. The same spirit of Elijah is right here in this present time. Then you'll be wondering, what do you mean by that? Because the same double portion of the Holy Spirit has come upon the church as I see in the book of Acts. The book of Acts says, as the Lord showed me in Acts chapter 1, and then you can see that in verse 5, verse 8, and verse 9. He says, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then he said this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Everybody say power. Power has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And then he went on. After he had said these things, he was lifted up. While they were looking on, while they were seeing, and a cloud received him out of their sight, the disciples saw Jesus ascended to heaven and were instructed to go to Jerusalem and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they were waiting for their mantle, just as Elisha asked for the double portion of the mantle to come upon them. The spirit of Elijah, the Bible says, rests on Elisha. When the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the church, the Spirit of the Lord rests upon the church, and there is a double portion of God's anointing, because the Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So there is a double portion in of me. There is a synergy of the power of God and the anointing of God. Oh, brother and sister, church, arise and pray and believe that the demons will flee. Oh, come on, give him all the praise and glory. Jesus and Elijah left the mantle unto the next generation. I repeat that word again. Jesus and Elijah left the mantles to the next generation. John 16 tells us clearly, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Why are we not running after the double portion of the anointing of God? Because we are afraid to carry on the ministry of power and anointing. Look at the book of Acts. The whole thing was resting on the church, the body of Christ. What is happening today is not the thing that had never happened, already happened. But we are not interested. We were not running after the anointing. Every day in my closet, I'll be praying for the double portion of the anointing. Because the New Testament tells me that he has now left for us to carry on. That double portion is there with you. So when you pray, you don't pray and say, I'm not too sure whether it will happen. I'm not too sure when I pray whether God is going to do, oh, Pastor, I don't want to pray with that kind of power because I don't like people to stare at me. I don't want people to know about it. Listen carefully. That double portion is not just for you. That double portion is for you to carry on the ministry. That's why the church is set up. That's why the church is built up. And I have a testimony of this man by the name of Pastor Hermit. Pastor Hermit lives in Bethlehem. Shared a testimony. He says just across the hill there was a Muslim family. And their daughter was possessed with demons. They were desperate for help. So they called the imam, but nothing happened. They called a Greek Orthodox priest. Nothing happened. They were so desperate. They even called a Catholic priest. Nothing happened. And finally, the person that he hated most, because he has always been saying this pastor is a weird and crazy pastor, and he has no choice but to call Pastor Hermit. He needed help. And so Pastor Hermit, who lives right up on the street, took that challenge. The testimony tells us that Pastor Hermit starts to walk and go up to the hill. Listen to this. As he was walking towards the hill, the demon in the child's life started to scream. And she said, "Christians are coming. The Christians are coming. The Christians are coming." Before he could knock on the door, listen, all the demons have left her. The demons were gone even before he knocked on the door. Brothers and sisters, that is the double portion of God's anointing. There is the power of God that when you begin to pray, the demons already knew who you are. The demons will hate your guts. And I would say, if you hate my guts, I know where the demon is. Brothers and sisters, when there is the double portion of God's anointing, the devil also knows. That is what I'm saying to you, church. The power of God is not on the man. The power of God is upon the church. The church must rise up and start praying. How many of you believe that? If you know there is something going on, start praying in Jesus' name. Don't wait. Pastor, oh, your pastor didn't come. How to pray? You can pray in the power of His name. Somebody said, amen. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that kind of the season of double portion where you do not wait for anybody else? You know the anointing has rest upon the church. And I want to assure you, it's already in the house of God. It's in the church. You don't let your circumstances intimidate you. You start praying. If your husband needs to be prayed for, pray for him. And when you pray, don't pray, "God, can you please do?" I tell you what, some of you, the way you pray, I will die first. You need to pray with the authority given to you. Somebody say amen. So I just want to ask of you today, are you running after the double portion of the anointing? When the church starts running after that portion, double portion of God's anointing, there is a synergy of God's power and His anointing in your life. There is a synergy. I am not subject to the circumstances. Circumstances are very much consumed by what happened on earth. There is disease. There is sickness. There will be pain. There will be sorrow. Listen to me. Some of us here, instead of from wilderness cross over to the promised land, you have tasted the promised land and you cross over to wilderness. It doesn't make sense. You know what I'm talking about? You are supposed to cross over here, but why are you here crossing over there? You know what I'm talking about? So I want to say to you, run and run and run after His anointing. Don't go around and sulk and say, "Poor me, nobody cares for me." There is no double portion in that kind of attitude. "Poor me, nobody care for me. He never come and talk to me. I'm all by myself. I'm a loner." Oh, man. Pastor, this one cannot do. Oh, it's difficult. It's difficult. Hello, get out of that difficulty. Rise up with the double portion and say it in the name of Jesus. I don't care what the circumstances is, but I do care what the power of God means to me. I want to go forth in His power. Somebody say amen. When there is power, there is anointing. Amen. So I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, get out from that mode of sulkiness and sorrowfulness and stand up and say, my circumstances may be bad, but I know my Father is good and He is better than my circumstances. That's what the Bible says. The glory of the Lord is greater than your problem. Amen. So I'm going to ask you, are you ready to run after God's anointing? Can I hear an amen?
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.